Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Begin reading verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn." Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and of the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and full reward be giving thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." In verse 13, we'll stop there. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, Lord. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our workers. We just pray, God, that you just move in hearts. I know the lessons over there are around the cross. And I pray, God, that you use that, Lord, for those children. I pray that you'll bless tonight. God, just have your way. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Ruth and Boaz, I've told you, it's a type of a relationship between us and Jesus. And tonight we're going to look at Owed to Grace, How Great a Debtor, Ruth part number 6. You know how I love to preach on grace. It wasn't long ago I preached on Mephibosheth. Several people came out and contacted me the next week and said they'd never heard of Mephibosheth. Well, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't either till several years ago. It's been probably 20 years ago when my pastor preached on it. But this is another wonderful story of grace. Our story is a believer, as a believer, is a story of grace. Whether you fully comprehend it or not, we are here because of grace, and we're indebted to grace. The writer of Amazing Grace, John Newton, I've told stories about him, but here's another one I read. 2 or 3 years before Newton died, his sight was so dim that he was no longer able to read, and a friend and brother in the ministry would have breakfast with him. And their custom would that they would read the Word of God. Newton would make a few remarks. On this particular day, they read this out of 1 Corinthians 15:10. "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Listen to what Newton said. I want to read it so I don't mess it up. Newton was silent for the longest, but finally here's what he said. "I'm not what I ought to be. How imperfect and deficient I am. I'm not what I wish to be, although I abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. I'm not what I hope to be, but soon I shall be out of mortality, and with it all sin and imperfection. Though I'm not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, nor yet what I hope to be, I can truly say I'm not what I once was, a slave to sin and Satan." And I say with the writer of John Newton, and if you ever get an opportunity to study his life, you need to. Here again, I advertise another book. There's a book that Charles Swindoll wrote. It's paralleling the life of John Newton with the Apostle Paul's life and the story of grace. And it's an amazing book, and I recommend it very, very highly. But the grace of God, we are indebted to the grace of God, to the grace. As we look at Ruth chapter 2, we're going to look at a perfect illustration of the grace of God. If anyone has ever understood how great a debtor one is to grace, it was Ruth. It was Ruth. She, like Paul and Newton, could say, "I am what I am by the grace of God." We read in verse number 2 of this same chapter, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. In verse 10, it says, why have I found grace in thine eyes? The first thing I want to look at tonight is how amazing the grace of God. John Newton again said in that song, amazing grace. There's a song called, there's no other word for grace but amazing. And I want you to notice something about Ruth. First of all, nationally, she was rejected. She was rejected. She was referred to in verse 6 as the Moabitish damsel. You say, well, why is that such a big deal? Well, listen to what Deuteronomy 23:3 says. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. The Ammonites and the Moabites, because of their wickedness, were subjected to disgrace by God. They were not permitted to hold any office among the Israelites. Nationally, Ruth was a member of a race that was condemned by God. Nationally, she was condemned. Ruth is a type of the picture of what happened when God saved us. Some of us don't have that story that we hear of this one that was out doing all of these wild and crazy things and God got a hold of them and saved their soul. Those are great stories. My story is I was a six-year-old boy. Felt under the convicting power of the Lord Jesus Christ and I asked Jesus to save me and I trusted him as my Savior April 6, 1980. That's my story. There's many other stories. I mean, just Tammy's brother, Michael, 44, 45 years old, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him and trusted him as his Savior. We all have stories. We all have stories where whether it's one that's great or amazing in eyes or if it's just a regular old little boy walking down and getting saved or like Alice or like the other children. Theirs is no different from anybody else's. Ruth was rejected. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul says we were satanically dominated. We walked according to the course of this world. Who's the prince and power of the air? Satan. We lived under Satan's control. We lived under Satan's commands. We shouldn't get all upset when the people in darkness do dark things. That's what you're supposed to do. What upsets me is when people that are supposed to be associated with the light do dark things. Y'all with me tonight? I got my tennis shoes on. I might take off. Probably not, but I might. Satanically dominated. But we're also spiritually disobedient. The spirit of disobedience worked within us. We were rebellious to God's word. We were sensually deprived. We lived our lives fulfilling the lust of the flesh. What does this world do? Whatever makes them feel good. Whatever makes them feel good. I saw something the other day, and somebody was wanting to know. I know we're streaming, but that's okay. Somebody was wanting to know where their daughter could go to church where she wouldn't be judged for being a homosexual and where she would be accepted. I so much wanted to say something, but I didn't. I just hid it so I didn't have to look at it anymore. Listen to me. Easter Sunday morning, there are some people that have told me they're coming to church. And their lives are a mess. Nobody's going to judge them. There may be people in this church that are dealing with all kinds of things. Maybe homosexuals. We're not going to check them at the door. Huh? But don't go to a church where a church can accept your sin. Y'all with me tonight? I'm telling you, I'm going to take off here in a minute. You with me, Samantha? You hadn't been here in a week or two. You've been sick. You with me? All right, you go with me. If I start running, you can follow me because I'll fall down. But we live in a dark world. Turn on the TV for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And you'll see we live in a dark world. We are children of the light. We are supposed to shine the light of Jesus Christ to this dark world that's dying and going to hell at 2 to 3 people a second. Let that sink in for a second. That's maybe a C-minus math student, so I'm not even going to try to go into the details. But if you've got 2 to 3 people dying a second and going to hell, you add that up in your mind, that tells you how many people's dying without Christ today. We live in a dark world. We're spiritually disobedient, spiritually deprived. But personally, let me get back here. But personally, this is where it gets good. Personally, she was received. Ruth was first called the Moabitess in verse 8. But notice what he said in verse 8. Look at what he says. She was called Ruth the Moabitess in verse 2. Ruth the Moabitess damsel in verse 6. In verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth. What does that mean? He accepted her. He accepted her. He said, "Hearest thou not my daughter?" Boaz didn't receive her as a foreigner, but as a family, because he called her his daughter. The law rejected her, but Boaz received her. Listen to me. That's what the grace of God does for you and me. This is heavy for Wednesday night. I was heavy Sunday night, and I'm heavy tonight, so just look out. But that's what the grace of God does, Dorothy. It takes us. It changes our lives, and there's so many people that need this grace, but they don't want it. They won't look the other way. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't want it. She was received. That song says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. We were sinners, but by grace we are saints. We were children of wrath, but now we are children of God. Once we had no hope, but now we have the blessed hope. Once we were rejected, now we are received." John wrote this in John 1:3-2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That's amazing grace. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "He's made us accepted in the beloved." Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9-10, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." He said, we used to walk in darkness, but now we're children of the light. Whew, that's good preaching, I'm telling you. I don't know about y'all, but y'all are lucky, lucky people. That's some good preaching right there. Great. I love to preach on the grace of God. How amazing the grace of God. Number two, how abundant the grace of God. In Ephesians 2:7, Paul said, "Exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." In Ruth, we see the exceeding riches of grace were shown to her by Boaz. We see there was a direction in her life, in her life. In verses 8 and 9, Boaz said to Ruth, "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them." She received guidance. Boaz said, "This is the only field you need to be in." Now remember, those of you that have kind of been in and out of this study, they left the wash pot. They left, and they came back during harvest. They were in a drought. They came back during harvest time. The welfare system was this. They left the corners of the field. After all the reapers had gotten through, they were allowed to go and reap the corners and anything that was left. And we're going to see, I don't think it's tonight, I'm pretty sure it's not tonight. We're going to see, though, that he told the reapers, leave a little extra for Ruth. leave a little extra for Ruth. Aren't you glad that we're allowed to glean in the field? There was a direction. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Proverbs 3:5-6. One of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We see a direction in our life. We see a protection for our life. Notice verse 9. Notice what he said. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? When there is a thirst, go to the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. He told the fellas, he said, hey guys, back off. Leave her alone. Don't touch her. Protecting her. You know, God protects us. God protects us. God watches over us. Apparently, she was a beautiful woman, and Boaz made sure that he was going to take care of her. We also see satisfaction, direction, protection, and satisfaction. I want you to notice something very important in verse 9. Again, it says, and when thou art thirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young man have drawn. Those that would come in the field to reap after it had been done, the welfare system, were not allowed to drink the water. Ruth was. Boaz said, hey, Ruth, you see that bucket of water over there? It's yours for any time. I was on a job one time, and it was hot. It was hot. And there was a water jug real close to where I was, and I was way far away from where our stuff was. And I went to get some water, and this old boy told me I couldn't have any water. I'm not going to tell you exactly how I put it, but I got some water because I was thirsty. You know, we have something here that the world needs. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Be bold. And so let me tell you about my Jesus. I watched the other night, and I'm going to admit to it, I watched the Grand Ole Opry on my phone. You can't find it on TV. And that singer that sings, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus, Ann Wilson, she's got so much Jesus in her. If a mosquito hit her, that mosquito would be singing Victory in Jesus. She got up there on the Opry stage and sung, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. She got behind the microphone at the end, and she began to cry. I said, praise God. Huh? That's what we need to be doing. I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to run. We need to be doing that because we have been given something that everybody else needs. Y'all with me tonight? I appreciate it. Satisfaction, direction, and protection. Ruth came from Moab with nothing. Nothing. Clothes on her back. But when she got to the field, she had everything. We come to Jesus with nothing, but he gives us everything. I'm not talking about finances. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about we came to God with nothing. He said, I'm going to give you my grace. Whew. Praise the Lord. Number 3, how astounding the grace of God. Everything happened so fast one day, she didn't know where her next meal was coming from till all of a sudden she was blessed beyond comprehension. Let's look at verse 10, and we see overwhelming to her heart. Notice in verse 10, then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why? Amen. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger. You remember Mephibosheth when he went to King David's house and King David opened the door, whoever opened the door, and there stood the king and there stood Mephibosheth crippled on both of his feet and he fell down to the ground. He said, I'm just a dead dog. Huh? She said, why? I often think that. Why, Lord? Did you provide your grace for me? Why did you 30 years ago call me to preach? Why April 6, 1980, did you save my soul? Why? Why? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it a lot Sunday morning. He did it all because he loves you. He did it all because he loves you. I want you to understand that. I want you to get that. The overwhelming to her heart. The truth is, we're all a mess. And nobody comes to the Lord squeaky clean. At least I've never met anybody. I've met some hard cases that have come to the Lord. I've met some hard cases, and then I've met some that have been raised in church all their life, did all of this, everything, crossed their I's, dotted their T's, or whichever way you want to go. They dress like they're supposed to dress. They listen to the music they're supposed to listen to. They did everything they're supposed to do, and they were lost and on their way to hell. You can keep all the laws you want to keep, but if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Amen? That's good preaching, I'm telling you. Wednesday night, I ain't supposed to preach this hard. It's overwhelming to the heart of God, to the heart, our heart, to realize how much God loves us. Listen to what it says in verses 11 and 12. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It is fully been showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the day of the death of thine husband. Thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of the nativity, and have come unto a people which thou knewest not. The Lord recompense thy work, and full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." She had experienced kindness and grace. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It's not because we earned it. It's not because we deserved it. It's not because we achieved it. No, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to us and we trusted him as our Savior. I get tired of hearing people say, "I'm working my way to heaven." Work all you want, brother. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going. Y'all with me? We can work and work and work and do and do and do and be lost as a church pew. We see overflowing from her heart. Verse 13, she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight. For my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." Overflowing from her heart was a desire to please Boaz. She wanted to find favor in his eyes. Robert Robinson wrote this, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering soul to thee." If we as a church and as a Christian, as a family, as believers, can ever get a hold of the fact of how amazing grace is. There's so much about grace. Grace is so complex, but yet it's so simple to understand. So simple to understand. Oh, to grace, how great a day. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please, for just a moment. We don't deserve it, and we sure can't earn it. There's nothing we can do. I tell people all the time, it's not about what you do, it's what about what he's already done. We just have to accept that and trust him as our Savior. Trust him as our Savior. Maybe they're at your seat. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe there's something going on in your life you need to address with the Lord. Oh, you can do that tonight. Right there at your seat, you can ask the Lord to forgive you. Start doing it afresh. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you need help with. That grace is so amazing. When you look at it, when you look at 2 Corinthians 12, for instance, Paul talks about grace. In that little area there, those few verses, we see the sustaining grace of God. We see the saving grace of God. Those grace is so amazing, and you ever can just get a hold of it. Maybe tonight you just need to pray, "Lord, help me understand the grace of God." Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for the grace of God. We don't understand it, but we're thankful for it. We don't understand all that you've done for us, but we're thankful that you have provided that grace. We love you. I pray for each one in here tonight, God, you do a work in their heart. Whatever it may be, whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, Lord, there's grace for that. There's grace to get us through each and every day that we go through. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.